The Five Leadership Questions podcast is brought to you by Ministry Grid, an online video-based training resource for all the leaders and volunteers at your church. To learn more and to get a two-week free trial, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks. That's ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Now, enjoy the podcast. Hey, welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I am your host, Barnabas Piper. In just a minute, I will be joined by Todd Adkins, my co-host. Today, we have the privilege of sitting down with Rachel Myers and Amanda Williams, who founded and run She Reads Truth. If that's not a site or a resource you're familiar with, you really ought to be. If you are a man who is a listener, then you ought to share it with your wife, your daughters, your aunts, your grandmothers, your cousins, your friends, because She Reads Truth is an incredible website built around faithfully reading the Word of God. So every day throughout the week, they put out a devotional walking through particular books of the Bible. Sometimes they're a thematic study. And then there's a community built around it. And then out of that, there are a wealth of resources. So they take these studies, they turn them into print books that can be walked through as devotional guides, as group studies, things like that. They started it about 5 years ago, and it has exploded. Hundreds of thousands of women use She Reads Truth regularly, commune around Scripture in that. And so we had the honor of just talking to them about how it started in their leadership as this has grown from what was essentially sort of a Bible study blog into a full-fledged ministry. They have spun off a site called He Reads Truth. I actually have the honor of contributing to that periodically and writing some of those studies. So there's He Reads Truth as well. So shereadstruth.com, hereadstruth.com. They're now producing some resources to help kids engage Scripture. And it's just this fantastic set of resources. Two other things I want to highlight, and these are really, really cool things. One is a book that came out just a couple months ago called She Reads Truth. So Amanda and Rachel co-authored it, She Reads Truth. You can find that at shereadstruth.com. And then this week, we are releasing a Christian Standard Bible, the CSB, a She Reads Truth Bible. So the studies, these devotionals are incorporated in along with the passages that they go with in this beautifully packaged Bible, and that is releasing now. So the CSB She Reads Truth Bible is available now as well, and you can find that at lifeway.com, you can find it at She Reads Truth, you can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever it is you like to get your Bibles. So check out the She Reads Truth book and the She Reads Truth CSB Bible. Those are incredible resources as well. This is a longer conversation than we often have, but that's because there were four people on mics instead of three, so there was a lot of input, but it's a lot of fun. They're super lively and had a great conversation talking leadership, cracking jokes. You will very much enjoy this. Here's the podcast with Rachel Myers and Amanda Williams of She Reads Truth. We are here today with Rachel Myers and Amanda Williams of She Reads Truth. You heard in the intro about their book, about their Bible, about their website.
They Reads Truth?
No, because it is aimed at individual readers.
They Reads?
Hey, I'm just trying
Kentucky.
To make sense.
Kentucky.
This is the first time
truth.
We've had four people on the
podcast. Reads Truth.
This is the first.
That's
the
good.
First time we have four people. I don't want people to be confused because there are multiple voices.
That's true. This is a first.
Yeah, that's okay. True.
Although there are people that listen to our podcast that hear multiple voices.
That's Todd hosts the podcast and hears multiple voices.
Okay.
They also reads truth.
Continue.
So She Reads Truth is the book, the Bible, and the website. So welcome to the podcast. Thank you for correcting my co-host's horrific grammar.
Thanks for
anytime.
Would you mind just giving a little bit of the story of how She Reads Truth, not they, She Reads Truth, started, how you two connected, where all of this came from? Because it's exploded over the last couple of years, and in terms of the devotionals, the website, and then everything that goes with it, so that all the print stuff and everything. So
And everything.
Right? I mean, everything is that's a lot of stuff, but
How can we concisely answer that question?
Yeah.
Go ahead,
concisely
Rachel.
Answer everything.
Okay.
Ready, go.
Do I have to say, this is Rachel speaking?
Just please say your name and then your comment.
Yeah.
This is they.
So, you know, actually, you might not know this, but we are coming up on 5 years, 5-year anniversary of She Reads Truth this spring, which is insane.
Do you have any do you have any big plans for the 5-year?
Oh, you never know.
Hawaii. We're going to Hawaii. No.
Are you taking all of your listeners as well?
Right,
listeners, readers. We have listeners. You have readers.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't be effective. That wouldn't be a good marketing tool.
Just me. I'm just going
post
by myself.
I'm celebrating by leaving. Sounds perfect.
So it started 5 years ago. Really social media driven at the beginning. Twitter conversation among strangers, just people who don't know each other saying, I'm going to read the Bible more. And then people saying, me too, me too, me too. I was kind of one of those first four strangers that was saying that. Mm-hmm. Amanda was one of the me toos. But really from there, we kind of said, let's give it a hashtag so everybody can keep track of this. And so somebody threw out, how about She Reads Truth? That's where that came from.
It was her branding.
Yeah. And and then from there, it really kind of went.
She's made many millions off of that, hasn't she? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, Keisha? Yeah.
I'm sure.
And so really it became a website, and we actually hosted all of our reading plans on the YouVersion app for the first couple of years, and then kind of realized we want to do things a little differently. We want to do it our way. So we kickstarted an app.
Very cool.
Super cool Kickstarter success story. We needed $30,000 in 30 days and got it in 23 hours and ended up kind of hitting all our stretch goals, which was incredible. So we got to do an iPad app and we got to do an Android app. And super cool. Now it's launched, and since then we've launched He Reads Truth. And
I contribute to that sometimes.
Contributes to that. He does. I think a lot of times.
A lot, yeah.
Usually a couple times per study. No, I enjoy doing it. It's fun. I really like it.
And then actually over Advent, so kind of last fall, we launched our first Kids Read Truth resource, which was maybe when we were doing our year in review and talking about things we were most proud of for the year.
These are the Advent cards, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I use those with my daughters. They were great.
Yeah.
Yep, at breakfast every day.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
Really good. Just let's talk about it. Let's talk about the gospel. Let's talk about what's happening here. And so we're working on a resource set for Lent, which will be a whole different ball of wax, I think. It'll be good.
I would think so.
Yeah. So, yeah. Amanda, since being a Me Too 5 years ago, she now leads with me, and she is our... I don't know what your title is.
Me either.
Cutest ever.
No, Chief Content Officer.
Yeah. There you go.
It's very official.
CCO.
Yeah, very nice.
And
sure.
I don't know. We added chiefs to our titles because it was just the two of us.
Because we could.
The chief is
when you're Googling your own title and trying to name yourself,
what would I like to be called? That's right.
Which is, it's so appropriate to be talking about this at this podcast because, we really initially Googled our titles. And I will be.
How about this
awesome.
One? I really like this one.
I just kind of put the t-shirt on that said CEO, and that was how it all started, folks.
And then you had to take the trash out.
And then right. And I had to load the dishwasher twice on my first day back.
That's right.
Yeah.
Servant leadership.
That is servant leadership, ladies and gentlemen.
Amanda, this is an aside, but I feel like it's fitting. What's your middle name?
My middle name? Or my maiden name is Bible.
Maiden. Okay.
So
I've seen it. Your middle
Williams.
Maiden name. Yes.
Yeah. It really is my maiden name.
My parents really are Rex and Brenda Bible.
Yeah.
And she's the Bible.
So
my dad's name was King Bible. His name was Rex Bible. And Rex means King.
Are you sick of jokes about your maiden name and what you do now?
No.
Like self-fulfilling prophecy jokes, things like that.
Well, as my voice gets really high.
Oh, look, it's the disingenuous high voice. I know that one.
I recognize that. No, I think it's, I'm a person who requires a lot of reminders for everything from here, you have to do this thing today, and also here's why you were put on the planet. So it's just really helpful that my...
So every time you fill out a form, it's maiden name.
Oh, right.
That's what I do and why I'm here. Got it.
It's that important book.
Me that I should constantly go on a diet.
Exactly.
It's funny, though, when we get little write-ins. I wonder how, wonder what Amanda Bible Williams would think about that with the air quotes.
They assign air quotes to it a lot, which implies that they believe that it's a self-imposed nickname, which
I'm just giving myself a little nickname.
Here's
my question.
That's more pretentious than picking your own title.
I know I'm not hosting this interview, but if your maiden name or your middle part of your name was something that you loved, what would it be? Barnabas something Piper. What would you be?
Oh, man.
I name you.
No, that's a terrible idea. That's terrifying. I mean, if it was something that I aspired to, I think I would go something like writer.
Okay,
or something along those lines.
That's so tame.
Words. Barnabas Piper.
Yeah, words. Words, yeah, just lots of words.
I'm going to go with Poobah.
For you or for me? I'll take it. Yeah, Todd would be Todd Guns.
Todd.
Oh. Guns Atkins.
I'm not that obsessed with firearms.
That's a lie. That's falsehood.
Okay, so... This question was posed on stage at an event.
That's right.
One time by Lisa Harper.
It was a Lifeway event.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we were talking about Amanda nicknaming herself
Amanda
Bible
Williams. It was a Lifeway
event.
I forgot.
It sure was. On stage. And really, like, I don't know what you know about Lisa Harper, but she is sort of, in my world, known as somebody who likes to put people on the spot just enough, just to, like, make it funny later.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I, like, started talking, and I was like, well, I would be Rachel Hot Salty Meet Myers, and she just like couldn't recover. She could not recover. Yeah. But I just love
bacon.
Steak.
Just
I
bacon.
Like,
yeah.
Steak or bacon, whatever. Like I just like I'm a carnivore. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I think the way that I put it, just like she wasn't sure what to say after that.
We're no longer on that Lifeway event. I'm not really sure. It's actually true.
It was a one-stop tour.
It continues, but not with us on the table.
It's fine.
It's fine.
You can say whatever you want at Pipeline.
Yeah.
Y'all can come to Pipeline.
This is a safe space. You can nickname yourself whatever you'd like.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with Bible.
All right. Mm-hmm. I have our first question, which is, who are you currently learning from?
And you guys can just talk over one another.
Yeah. And
we're really
every
good
question
at talking
we
over
ask,
one.
Just go ahead and say ... other than the Bible. So
okay.
Any question
sure.
you ask means other
who are you learning
Jesus,
from? You guys. Yeah.
Besides Jesus.
Yeah, this is a safe space, not a Sunday.
My pastor. Actually, though.
No, that's
true.
Okay. That's
I learned
okay.
from your pastor.
I learn from him all the time. He's so smart.
Rachel's pastor has been part of our She Reads Truth.
Theological oversight.
Yeah.
More than that. He just takes care of us.
He does.
Who is
Who is that pastor?
That's Nate Sheridan. I go to Cornerstone Presbyterian in Franklin.
We affectionately dubbed him the our accidental heresy net when we first started writing our own content.
Yeah. Could you please read this before we publish it to half a million people? Thank you.
It's only sort of a joke.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of accidental heresy involved at one point?
No, that's a good question, and thanks for clearing that up. No, but it felt important that not happen.
Yeah, no, that's smart.
And
I just
in retrospect, I'm sure we could have been clearer.
It's like a seatbelt. You don't expect to get in an accident. But just in case.
Okay.
So he's your seatbelt.
He's in
this day and
age of
social media, especially because you all launch through social media, we all know that someone can cut and paste whatever they would like.
Context not relevant.
Totally.
Yes. And so I think that's really important for somebody to be watching out for you guys to look and say, hey, do you understand? If they just take this part and...
Right.
Well, and even like, and yes, like truly to like protect us, but like, I think there are so many people who trust us and in order, like, because so many people trust us, we need to be trustworthy. And so not just like make sure people don't think badly about us, but like, we're actually, whether we like it or not, like the words that we say are teaching people and like, are we teaching them what is true? Or, you know, so we have to have somebody who's going, like, actually, that's not true. You don't understand that. And let me teach you, because we don't know everything. That's news.
In case somebody wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And your kids just
so, nodding. Okay, so somebody I'm learning from.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot in our office about having these what we call lunch and learns, which I think is a thing that people do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, like, there's, like, kind of, like, a roughly official plan to start doing those formally at our office during lunchtime. But also informally, we've just been going, like, all right, 5-second lunch and learn. Like, tell me something that you've learned.
That's really fast to eat.
No, each person gets 5 seconds. Oh, okay. I mean, it was just – so today we learned today at lunch we learned about a type of mushroom that looks like a rock. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks really gross and ugly, but it was – like, we learned about a type of mushroom, which was actually interesting. We learned about where a battery is located in in a BMW versus where the hot links are if you need to charge it.
I think hot links, I think food.
Yeah.
back to the meat.
This is not the first time that hot links have come up recently.
They
have come up recently.
No, but so we do, so I'm learning from our team. I think that they are so smart
and they are
complex people who have so much more value in them than what they bring in their role at the office. And so it's really cool to go, like, tell me something else that you know. Because, I mean, Kelsey.
Like mushrooms.
Yeah, shrooms
sure.
and cars.
But Kelsey came to the office over Christmas and brought, like, the best brownies anybody had ever eaten. And they were.
I'm sorry, you're going from shrooms to best brownies people have eaten.
Were there shrooms in the brownies?
No,
there were none.
Is there a correlation between shrooms and brownies and why they were good?
Not at our
maybe.
We're just learning
no.
about each other. We're learning that everybody has awesome skills. And
so, describe your team a little bit. I mean, so websites look amazing when people go to them.
Yeah.
But nobody knows what happens behind the scenes.
Right.
So, what is the team of people who makes all of this happen besides the two of you who are CEO and CCO?
Yeah. So we have a creative team of four, and we have, and so they. Not only do all the digital stuff, the website, the app, but really more than that, they do all the printed resources. So we do a She Reads Truth and He Reads Truth book about once every 3 weeks. So we publish 15 he and 15 she books per year, so 30 a year. And so they're constantly creating printed resources for the he's and she's. And then we also have an editorial team who is not only editing those resources, but then also producing the online content, the app content.
Creating the plans from
and
concept
then we have
to
really
completion.
An incredible shipping team who gets it all on time to everybody's houses.
Yeah, yeah they're amazing. And
they do very good work. It's,
they do
I mean,
very
really
good
high quality.
Work. Yeah. They do excellent work, and we're really, really thankful. You know, it's grown so quickly that it wasn't long ago, I mean, 2.5 years ago, Rachel and I were all those things, minus the printed resources that we did not create.
So, like, you know how, like, She Reads Truth has people on Instagram that like what we do, and we, like, create, like, a social share every day? It used to be me and Amanda that created those.
Don't look back too far is all we're
like
saying.
Back in, like,
don't
the
keep scrolling.
And then, like, oh, yeah, don't scroll back more than, like, 2 years ago.
You have a cutoff date?
Yeah, because they were all
built bad.
By me and Amanda. They were real special.
I mean, guys,
lots of Comic Sans.
I have two words or one word to pick monkey.
PicMonkey.
That's how I created some of our. Do you remember PicMonkey?
No.
.com?
That you can
over. This was before, pre-over.
Oh, yeah. It was pre-over.
Yeah, so maybe like 3 years ago. It was bad. It would be like midnight where there's a post going up. We don't have a graphic. I'll just whip
I'll
one up.
One.
And to
some
be clear.
Comic Sans on a picture of somebody on a dock. Here we go.
Yeah, on a dock and we're good.
Yeah.
And so we also, like, I mean, the shipping all happened at my kitchen table. I mean, that was just, we were doing it. So, like, I mean, we've been every role in our company, and now we're still trying to figure out what we're
doing.
You
probably didn't really think of yourself as a company then.
No.
Like, I still hardly do. I guess we have to at this point. But especially not then. I think, like, there was a point, our first office, it was a 10 by 10 room, not much larger than where we're sitting right now.
I don't think this is 10 by 10. It's about that.
But about that. And our shipping person and our, like, community person worked there, and so we didn't even have room to come into the office.
No, we did not.
We did not come to the office.
You worked remotely,
right
outside the office.
Yeah. So now to have an office full of that is, you know, all manner of things.
I worked in the car this morning.
Yeah. So to have all of these capable, talented people under one roof and at our disposal for 40 hours a week is amazing. So we have a lot to learn from them. They're fantastic.
They're all better at our jobs than we were when we were trying to do their jobs.
And that means they're good hires.
Yeah. Hired well. That's
yes.
What
yeah.
Good.
Well, good.
Check.
Hiring
Gold
well.
Stars.
Yeah.
Bingo.
So I in thinking on this question, I think that the most honest answer for me right now is that I'm learning from kids. Because I feel like with children, they have, they don't allow for much fluff when you give an answer. Mm-hmm. So my kids are in a phase where, and I have the She Reads Truth Advent cards to thank for a lot of this conversation, but asking a lot of really hard questions, not complex questions, just, it's actually that they're very simple, and simple questions about faith and Christianity can be really difficult to answer. And then I'm also helping with that same age group on a monthly basis at my church. And so I feel like I've been at a loss for words on lots of occasions lately. And so I feel like I'm learning to how to actually answer basic questions, because we're in the business of words and of, like, yeah, you know, of reading the Bible, but then talking about it. And, mm-hmm, and, you know, we like to put together pretty sentences and stuff, and kids don't care, mm-hmm, about sentence structure.
And they keep coming back to, yeah, but why?
Right.
How?
Right.
Well, that's,
yeah,
a nice,
how,
turn of phrase, but help me out.
Right. Right.
I'm unimpressed with your metaphor.
Right. And then how is this true, but then also this true? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh gosh.
Well, I got stuck with one of those at dinner the other night. I mean, we're talking about creation, yeah, and they're like, wait, wait, wait. So if God is in control and Satan came and tempted people and then they sinned, did God know that was going to happen? Wait, if he knew and he's in control, uh-huh, did he let that, did he make that happen?
These are great questions.
Sorry, kids. I'm stumped.
Who wants more ravioli?
I know, that's right. Ice cream. That's my answer for everything.
Yeah.
Ice
cream. My most
solves
recent
theological problems, mm-hmm, or at least makes kids
chocolate
be quiet.
Chocolate Trinity is an excellent choice of ice cream, by the way.
Nope, I'm not getting into the Trinity with my kids. That's also confusing.
It's amazing.
It is.
We just
someone
had a conversation,
yeah,
about Trinity.
Someone drew a, who was it? Oh, I can't remember, but I had someone draw, like, a chart, a Trinity, I don't know, illustration.
Yes, to all these things.
To help me understand how to explain the Trinity to my children. And I just was like, I should know this, I think. But it's complex. And when you start to put it into words, mm-hmm, and then you realize. Anyway,
and
lately
they
want
to
know.
You understand something before you explain it. And it's a
but
lot.
Can't. Yeah. I mean, you really, yeah, you really can't. They
want to
know
gospel,
if God loves Satan. So if anyone has a proper response to that, you just phone it in. I actually read an article.
Well, our
by
second
dad
question is.
Let's go for it. Let's keep moving. Keep
no,
moving.
Really, I have no is idea how to answer that. Although I think the answer is no.
I think
but,
no. I think he hates sin.
And so Satan is sort of the embodiment,
yeah,
of.
I think hate.
But anyway, next question. This is not what we came here for.
Okay.
Trevin Wax is going to crack the theological whip all over us.
As
is,
where is Nate Sherden when we need him? I think
where's our heresy net?
That's right.
Trevin, email us later the answer.
Heresy net in theater room, please.
Yes.
Second question, moving away from all things heretical.
Great.
What's the main point of emphasis for leadership right now, either for the team that you described or for yourselves as leaders?
This is a super easy answer for me.
Just not easy to say.
Yeah.
Correct.
Who knew? Surprisingly difficult to articulate.
Words, hard.
So our creative team, we just did like what everybody does at the beginning of the year. Like, how was the last year? What's coming up? What's this year going to be like? And our creative team had talked about, like, this is their year of refinement. Like, they were building. They were, like, kind of distilling their goals. But, like, this is their year to really get good at what they're doing. And I liked that word refine so much because I am coming off of a full month-long sabbatical. So I took the entire month of December off and really needed that. I think that, like, I guess it depends on how you look at it, but I'd been at it for 4.5 years, really without a moment to, like, not get up with the baby in the night. And so I just needed a month. And it was good for me to sort of take that month away and identify what parts of my, you know, what things are getting hard because of burnout, mm-hmm, and what things are getting hard or worth, like, pivoting away from because maybe a change in calling or whatever that is. And I think that it was helpful for me in that month and now coming back and kind of knowing what feelings to trust and what feelings not to trust about, like, that re-entry period. Really, refinement is, you know, getting all the dross away and,
yeah,
like, identifying what's not supposed to be here, not just building, but just, like, clearing out all the, mm-hmm, gunk that I'm doing that doesn't need to be done by me or by anybody. And so really this year for me, and really I think the best way that I can be a leader to my team this year is to kind of refine and crystallize what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm,
why do you guys need me to be your leader? What do you need me to do? Mm-hmm. Not just why do I think I need to be here?
What if the answer?
Can I just point out that is an excellent leadership principle for any organization, any church leader, any leader that's listening right now? Simply to have a conversation of start, stop, and refine.
Mm-hmm.
That occasionally you just need to take a meeting or whatever just to say, maybe a couple times a year actually, and just say, what do we need to stop first?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Start, refine. And a lot of times when we're going through a process with a church where we're consulting, mm-hmm, and looking at doing pipeline, we're like, okay, I need you to tell me three things that you're going to stop, two, mm-hmm, things, you know, two things you're going to refine, and one thing that you're going to start. Because basically, we all have, our organizations tend to grow over the course of time, and, you know, the complexity of what you guys do, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You've grown exponentially and so quickly. Mm-hmm. So you can go there's not a time where you're going to run out of great ideas.
Right. Exactly.
I hope not.
It's
no exaggeration to say that I am less qualified for my job every day. I believe that. I didn't go to school for business. My degree is interior design. That's not helping me here necessarily. I'm not equipped to be the CEO of a growing, flourishing, exponentially growing ministry that's multiplying into different brands. And so I think it's honestly kind of terrifying. I think there's a lot of feelings of inadequacy. And so sometimes I like to do the more menial tasks. I know I can do those right, you know. And I think that I think the responsible thing as a good leader is to be brave enough to step away from the things that I know I can do well and stretch myself into learning, what does my team need me to do, even if it's hard, even if it's going to take some education, even if it's going to take some outside help to get right.
It's tricky because with the growth and the rapid growth of the company, you know, you and I, Rachel, did all of the things at one point, like we were just talking about. And so you have to constantly adapt. So our role has changed. You know, we may still have those titles that we Googled, but we haven't, you know, our actual role has changed so much. And because we've had a hands-on role in every department at some point and in forming that department and then hiring people to come in. So it's tough to let go of those things in the sense of what you were just saying, like, well, this is what I've done. This is what I know how to do. But we always ask one another, you know, what is it that only I can do? Mm-hmm. And then what is it that someone else can do? Mm-hmm. And so we're having to ask that question a lot lately. And I would say
it's almost more often than some might have to, just because of the rapid growth.
Right, right. And in my team, so on one level, you know, leading the company with Rachel, we're having this conversation together in a lot of ways, just refining as a leader of the greater team. But then my editorial team, we are not quite to that stage of refinement because we didn't have a proper editorial team, you know, a year and a half ago. So, and so now with our team, there's more of a clarifying emphasis, like what the roles are, who's in those roles. My role as a leader, clarifying that, because I am one, you know, like Rachel said, we didn't set out to do or be this necessarily. So we're kind of default leader, like leaders by default. And so I would much rather just do the work as opposed to lead others and grow the team, not grow in numbers, but grow in skill and health, like the health of the team. And so I think that is my emphasis right now is to acknowledge my weaknesses as a leader, because that is not my that's not something that comes to me naturally in like leadership proper, leading, you know, people below me, but then also to kind of step into that vulnerability and let them speak into our team structure and really listen to them. Like, I think we're really just learning to listen to, we're pretty good at listening to one another. But I think the problem is not it's not a lack of desire to listen to our team, it is a lack of intentionally making space and time to listen to our team. So I think that is something that we really want to do more of this year and to do a better job of this year.
It's interesting, I mean, both of you describing this, and just because it's, especially when you start something, it's so much easier to default to doing it than it is to developing other people to do it or handing it off at all. You know, you sort of want to hold on to it, like you owned this,
either
this was
I'm the
your
only
thing.
Person that knows how to do this, or I'm the only person that can do it properly.
Or you have having this strong emotional attachment to it.
I love this. I don't want to not do. Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure both of you probably still do some of those things you still love to do. I mean, you still do editing and content development and things like, and writing and things like that. So I mean, so it's right. It's not as if you're just saying, nope, everybody else does that and I'm just
and
an
you,
overseer.
And you have to know yeah. how to coach the team, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's tricky.
Give us a new question.
Yep. Next up. Go,
so,
Todd.
So what are the two or three things that you do every day? You're like, I must do this every day if you're going to be effective as a leader that day.
And we're not allowed to say read the Bible?
You're not allowed to say
read truth. Next.
That's right. They read truth.
They read truth. And are we allowed to say coffee?
Yes.
Okay, you're allowed to say coffee.
Coffee
okay,
for
ditto.
Sure.
Ditto.
I mean, I only started drinking coffee about 5 years ago, but it's my friend. And so
I right up there with
coffee.
Bacon and steak.
Yeah. Coffee doesn't ask dumb questions.
You know.
Coffee
well,
understands.
Doesn't talk
coffee
back.
Coffee just.
Nope.
Yeah.
And it goes away when you need it to.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It's and beautiful. If it gets cold, just put a couple ice cubes in there, and then you got iced coffee. We're good.
Problem solved.
All manners.
So
of coffee.
Is that's like all two. So we've got make coffee, drink coffee,
Jesus
and then iced
coffee.
Coffee. Got it. Okay.
Jesus and caffeine.
You know, I think that my most holy answer is that I like to eat 3 Twizzlers a day. That's the truth. I like
really?
3 red strawberry Twizzlers a day.
I'm so proud of you for admitting this.
Have you had the Twizzlers versus Red Vines argument with Russ Ramsey,
no.
your coworker?
Well, with my own
he's
husband.
A Twizzler heretic. But.
Yeah, no, it's a real thing in our home because we've had, I mean, since I was 15 years old, 3 Twizzlers a day.
That's a habit.
You know, it's not the worst habit.
And it's well within reason. It's not like 3
it's
bags of Twizzlers.
It's not a bag a day or anything.
Yeah.
It's not a pack a day, guys. we have a canister in our pantry, and it's just, I mean, we always get the bag. Open it up, put them all in the canister, and like, so there's just always Twizzlers at our house. Come on over.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. But Ryan, my husband, doesn't really like Twizzlers, which is perfect. but he really likes Red Vines. And so.
Which is not perfect.
Which is not perfect. It's imperfect. And he. I don't know. Like, he's honestly very gracious about it, but he's, like, very strongly in the camp of Red Vines, as is Russ Ramsey. And it happens at the office sometimes. They eat their Red Vines and I look away.
Red Vines are so gross.
Yeah.
They're like medicine.
Well, and then the other day we went to the movies and there was, like, this, you could get a bag of, like, Red Vine bites and they were just, like, short Red Vines. I couldn't. I had to be away from
it. It's like leftover Red Vines.
Yeah.
It's like, dear.
Leftover,
it's
like
gross.
It's cast aside.
Yeah. No, I mean, I eat them just because I'm a great wife. But, so one of my main things, like, ladies and gentlemen.
Coffee Twizzlers.
Coffee Twizzlers.
And being a great wife. Look at that.
And then I think like on a not too serious, but like on a more practical note. And Amanda does this in like a little bit different way. So it'll segue well into you, my friend.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I am about 15, 20 minutes from our office. And I love my drive in the morning because it gives me the chance, as long as I'm disciplined, to not listen to Hamilton or something else exciting. I like to name every person on my team before the Lord. Like, I like to pray for each person by name. And so 20 minutes is, like, a good bit of time to cover a dozen people.
That's of the people we've asked this question to, that's the first time anyone has said that kind of answer. I love that, and that's great. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I mean, Twizzlers, too? Other people have said
no.
Twizzlers?
No, nobody said Twizzlers.
Give us a few bars of I'm not going to
But since that
shot.
Was your holier answer, I felt like I needed to give it a little.
Mixtape or regular?
Yeah. How does a ragtag volunteer army?
There it is.
And then on my ride home, wait, do you? That was like a disdain.
Oh, that was disdain.
I heard that.
No, I've heard one song from Hamilton ever, and it was the one performed on the Grammys last year, and I've never heard anything else from
my
it.
My shot then.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Are you saying
it wasn't memorable?
Or my memory stinks. Whichever
okay, we'll
one.
We'll go with B. We'll go with B.
Well, according to Michelle Obama, it is the greatest piece of art ever of all time of all mediums.
Wow.
Which is.
That's interesting.
That's strong.
Really
saying
something.
I don't
know.
That's
strong.
Statement.
I'm somewhere in between.
Yeah.
That's good.
The Sistine Chapel says, hey.
She says,
yeah,
like,
that's sort of what I thought. The David.
That's right.
Rolls his eyes.
What?
It's fine. Anyway, on my ride home from work, that's awesome.
That's Hamilton?
Like, that is, no. That is, well, sometimes. But that's my
90s
must.
Rap and R&B.
Usually I'm alone in the car on the way home, and so I... that is my like reentry period. I need that.
Yeah.
Like if I have kids in the car with me or like some other dynamic that day and I don't get that office to home moment. I don't know. Do you guys have that? Like,
oh, yeah.
I need a minute, and 20 minutes is just perfect for me. And so Amanda's time, Amanda's drive is longer, and so you use that time differently. Segue to Amanda.
Well, my drive is about 50 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic, and I use that to eat Twizzlers the whole way.
Not just three.
Just all the Twizzlers.
The whole pack. Three packs a day, not three Twizzlers a day. I force myself not to turn. I love music. I love listening to podcasts. I really enjoy my time in the car. But I lately have been just complete silence for the whole way there, which can be challenging when I'm having a particularly like tired morning, just to stay awake.
Yeah.
But I either use that time to pray, or if I'm just, you know, some mornings it's tough to pray for a solid hour first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I'll just be in silence and just kind of try to be prayerful, even if I'm not praying, you know, per se. And so I have recognized, well, a few things. If I listen to podcasts or the news or things like I used to do on my drive, I would start my day anxious.
Present podcast excluded.
I don't listen to this podcast. So.
But even podcasts that are really delightful and make me laugh. And so there's something about starting the day with the noise. I'm a very noise triggered person. It makes me anxious. I'm a little bit noise averse, but with save for music and Broadway musicals, of course. I've learned if I do that, it makes me anxious. If I can listen to music and feel like kind of really up from that drive-in, but then I am not. I have the
it's
same
like the record
part
scratch
of, like,
when
entry.
You walk into the office. Like,
amazing what like an actual properly quiet ride into the office, like an intentional ride into the office. It's amazing what a difference that can make.
Yeah,
for
and it's
day.
Just sort of been my challenge the last
I'll
several
have to
months.
Try that.
Yeah,
I don't think it's
a guilt.
I just never thought
I don't
of it.
Think yeah.
I've never seriously considered. I mean,
you
I use that time
differently.
I use that time to listen to podcasts or audiobooks almost always, and
you
so
use that, like I want to like use get a good return on this time. I want to learn something.
I
want to hear.
I just
something.
I mean, but
call
phone calls.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he
because
does.
Who wants to make a phone call with their actual phone to their ear?
Well,
right?
Barnabas and Kev, my whole team hates it.
Hang on.
They know. Like, okay, Todd's
car.
Commute's about now. So.
Rachel does that. She calls me in the morning. We call them our bass touch in the morning on the way in.
See, it's just a bass touch.
It's just a bass touch, but I
don't want it.
I think that. The challenge with us is that we, you guys need to work this out off the air. The challenge is that we battle against working round the clock. So it's one of the only time, kind of embarrassed to say, it was one of the only times that I'm still and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and so if I force myself to use that time. So my quiet drive-in is one. And then I kind of require the same when I get home. I retreat from my family. I publicly apologize to my husband for this, but we have just both kind of understood that when I, that I just kind of need that minute sometimes.
How long is this minute?
Okay, like 10.
Mm. Oh, it's not bad. I didn't know if minute was like, you know, from 5 to 7 or something.
No. If it's a weekend and I've been home with my three small children for an extended period, it might be longer than 10. But I have this spot on my bed that's like right next to the bedside table, and it's close to the wall so I can kind of sit on the side of the bed and put my feet on the wall, and I sit there. I don't know why. David comes in and he's like, "You look so uncomfortable. Why do you do this to yourself?" And I'm just sort of like perched. But I think it's because if I commit to like really sitting in a quiet place and relaxing, I'm going to fall asleep.
Your minute becomes very, very long.
My minute becomes a nap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just have this spot on my bed where I sit, and it's just sort of my processing. Like if I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to, you know, do something detrimental to someone within arm's reach."
I think that segues. segues into our next question really well.
It does. Yeah. Really
so are. Speaking of doing things detrimental to one's family or oneself.
We'll start with you.
Well, no. So
hiding.
Entrepreneurs, business leaders, right. Authors, mothers, wives, lots going on here. What does leadership in your homes look like? Because it sounds, I mean, there's a lot happening.
I want Rachel to go first because what you may not know is that Rachel's husband is our creative director. And
I'm the boss of him at the office. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And he is the boss of me at home. So that's how that works. That's what leadership looks like.
Suss that out a little bit. We have some listeners who probably raised an eyebrow when you said that.
Edges a little there, right?
Honestly, so Ryan and I, this is like important backstory. We met when we were 7, like we started dating when we were 15, married when we were 20. So like we...
I thought you were about to say started dating when we were 8.
right.
Married by 10.
So we have grown up together, spent our lives together, and are really known and nothing different than being together. Mm-hmm. And so... he is not our creative director because he was the closest guy with a mouse and a InDesign program. Like, he's actually...
Maybe a little at first.
Maybe. I don't know. But he's excellent at what he does.
The creative work is excellent.
So it bears itself out. So it
he's
speaks
fantastic.
To what he can produce. So he was doing this sort of on the side for a long time. And it kind of came to a point where we all just kind of had to honestly say... We either need you, like, well, please say all, don't say nothing, but we need, like, all of you to, like, be here. But the process of bringing Ryan on full-time at She Reads Truth was so much more complicated than just, like, hiring a creative director because we had to, I mean, I feel like we probably sat in our pastor study half a dozen times. It feels like we, like, met with him so much before just kind of going, like, what's that going to look like?
You didn't want to ruin anything.
I don't want to ruin anything. Like, I would rather have bad design and a healthy marriage than, you know, than, like, have everything look great and then feel awful. And so, like, but, I mean, thanks be to God, like, working together is super fun. It's going great.
And it's like you get 2 raises a year.
Right? Everybody's doing great.
That's kind of a sore spot for me. He's great. Worth every penny.
Anyway, I think also, so leadership in our home, leadership in our home. Our home, under our roof, lives 4 sinners. And we sin a lot. And
so, does this have to do with Twizzlers?
Yeah. I think that, like, leadership for us looks like being the chief repenters. Mm-hmm. And not just repenting to the Lord, but to each other, to our kids, showing them what that looks like, modeling, like, the heck out of that. Like, just, like, I was wrong. And, like, hearing them say I was wrong so that they learn to say that they were wrong. Like, I think that we are so full of error. And even when we try so hard not to be. And it's really important to us. And that's something, honestly, that Amanda and David do really well with their kids, too. They say they're sorry a lot. And so leadership in our home a lot of times looks like being the smallest.
Yeah.
I love that because I have a different answer to that, but similar. I think when someone in our home, when we are truly leading one another in our home, it looks like quiet confidence. Like, those are the words that I keep thinking, because I am personally learning that being a leader doesn't mean being the loudest one. Yes. I don't know if anyone can relate to having small children and thinking that if you just get louder, they will
respect
they
you.
Will I don't know. They will, like, reverse their crescendo. But it doesn't work that way. And
but the neighbors love it.
Right. I'm sure.
They do.
Sure.
Love it.
They're like, I thought that lady was with She Reads Truth. Why is she yelling? No, but I think...
Why is she yelling? She would never yell.
No.
If her maiden name was Bible.
Yeah. We're just learning that, like...
It's the red vines.
Being in charge doesn't mean being the loudest. It doesn't necessarily mean being in control, even. Like, I think it's so... As a parent, I really struggle with... understanding that leading my children does not equal controlling my children.
Controlling is not the same as being in control.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, sure, like, I mean, we're in control. Like, nothing. If they're like, I'm going to play with matches, it's fine. I can control you. No, thank you for the clarification. it's easier said than done. It's, we're trying to teach we have a daughter who's 9 and twin boys who are 7. And so we're trying to teach her what it means to lead her brothers. And that means modeling behavior that she would like to see from them because she, you know, they're easy targets. Mm-hmm. They're real cute little blonde-headed targets. And she, so if she wants...
It's like Minions.
Yeah. If, you know, if she wants respect and understanding and kindness from them, then she needs to model that. And, you know, I think that we still are learning that as parents. So, and then... As far as just the dynamic with our husbands, there's a little bit of similarity there. David does not work for She Reads Truth. I'm very thankful. I mean, I love him. He's fantastic. But we really like to do our own things, and then mm-hmm. yeah, it's
makes
fine.
Sense.
It's
normal.
It's
That's
fine.
Super normal.
Everything's fine, you guys. Everything's okay. But he, I think he exhibits that as well. His leadership style in our home is very, like he models respect and integrity and those things. And so, it makes it not like, oh, it makes it so easy to follow. I mean, he doesn't order us around, but we, the kids sometimes, but it makes it, we feel safe. You know, I feel like I look to his leadership style because he's very good at just kind of setting the air of just like you're safe here, mm-hmm. and you're loved here and respected here, and so so that's what we aspire for it to look like, quiet confidence in our mm-hmm. home, but
good deal.
Sometimes right. not.
What's our last question?
Here's a very important question. Other than Jesus, coffee, and Twizzlers,
mm-hmm. or Bible.
Or Bible. Mm-hmm. What would you tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to lead?
Like, I have a really good answer for this.
All right.
If you say so yourself.
I'm patting myself on the back.
No, preemptively.
I absolutely read the question in advance, you guys. I'm going to confess. But I thought about it. It gave me a chance to think and really, honestly, it's some advice that one of my pastors gave me, a different pastor, Dr. Grant, Dr. George Grant. I don't know if you guys know him. Anyway, he told Amanda and I about a year ago. We were just kind of, I think we asked to meet with him and just set out to just kind of go help us look at what we're doing and just counsel us.
We were talking about the accidental heresy net.
Possibly.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were just begging him to help us be careful because we were feeling this heavy responsibility of this growing audience and how can we rightly handle the word of truth and how can
Well,
we,
they read truth.
They so. Read truth.
They do.
It's true.
They do.
How can we do that? Well, and I mean, even scripture tells us that teachers are going to be held to a higher standard. How can we do this? We're scared of the responsibility that we have. Mm-hmm. And his answer, which is what I would tell my 20-year-old self, was very seriously, the danger that you will pose to your audience is not in the resources you produce. It's not in the words that you write or anything that you say, nothing you create. It is whether or not you lead and live consecrated lives. That's the danger. That is if you do not live a consecrated life, that's where everything that you've written, everything that you've worked for can just go. If you aren't actually walking in truth personally, quietly,
right,
with the Lord, so consecrating that, what you're in your, in the quiet time, if you're not consecrating that time.
Leadership is more about what you do that no one sees, you know, mm-hmm. it's like the character is who you are when no one's looking. But mm-hmm. leadership has, I think I would echo that and say that it has more to do. It's not that those things aren't important. It has more to do with mm-hmm. what no one sees mm-hmm. and less to do with platform and numbers and polish, mm-hmm. which we have so much of. Polish.
As you have witnessed.
I know.
Yeah, I think there's just no way to do this to do ministry for the long haul. You can write for a while, you can produce, you can create for a while, but you can't do it well for a long time mm-hmm. without having rhythms and just really meaning it.
Well, yeah, you start drawing on a well that ran dry a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've experienced times like that for sure. And I think that that's when, you know, those words ring and we're just like, oh, we're not doing it right now, for sure.
And it's, I'm constantly surprised at how true that is, that like, oh no, it's still true. I still, it's so much less about, what's on my to-do list today and more about, just the foundation of that.
Why we're here.
The why. Yeah. I think too, something that I would tell myself 5 years ago when I was 20. No, sorry.
It was
a bad joke. They can't see me. It's fine. especially given how we came to this leadership role, which was unintentionally, is that, we talk a lot about that, like, what is the saying of God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think that I would understand on a basic level, like, okay, it's God who qualifies us. But so I can't qualify myself ultimately. Like, God does that.
Right.
But I think I would also tell my 20-year-old self in preparation for the leadership role I'm in today that I also can't disqualify myself. Mm-hmm. You know, that the opposite is true for me, that, like, there's – I know that maybe that's not exactly true, because perhaps by my actions I could at some point. But what I'm saying is, like, I can't my not believing, of having faith in my own qualifications, doesn't change the Lord's calling on my life. Like, it is about his qualifying me. It is about his.
Speaking to doing the work and doing the ministry as opposed to, like, the moral qualifications.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Thank you for because it's tricky. I mean, it's that's tricky. But
we really like, this is why we need the heresy now, guys.
I can't disqualify myself for ministry. What are you talking about?
I
know what you mean. Well, really, in reality, is the only person that can disqualify you is you.
Right. So, I mean, but it's not. Yeah. I spend a lot of time, or have wasted a lot of time doubting what God has called me to do, knowing full well that it has all been, like, written in the sky. Like, and so I think that I would just want to encourage our young selves that you. That doesn't actually matter how much faith I have in myself.
The beauty of what you both have said is it doesn't matter whether you're 20, 40, 60, or 80. Those things still have the same weight and still apply.
That's my favorite thing about just about every answer we get to that question is people think back to advice they would give their 20-year-old self, and it's advice I need and Todd needs and they still need. And, it's almost always timeless unless it's circumstance specific. Like, we had one person who was like, don't do so many drugs. Like, well, I mean, that's really good advice. Not
solid.
Pertinent to me currently, but,
That's solid advice.
Yeah.
So.
We don't mean to belittle that.
Guys,
advice.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely.
It's really fun.
We have enjoyed it. Thanks so much for...
It's fun
thanks
having two of you and two of us and kind of...
And creating conversational chaos.
I mean...
Perfect.
That's what we're here for. Anytime. Call us back.
Yes.
We've got a second list of 5 questions. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, listeners, I hope that was... as enjoyable for you as it was for us. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you go to lifeway.com/leadership, you can find the show notes where we will have links to all the books, all the Bibles, any recommended resources, top quotes, and you can find the rest of our leadership stuff. Also go to shereadstruth.com and see the current studies that are going on there, and then all of their printed past studies you can find there as well. So shereadstruth.com. Be sure to check that out. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in next time. Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Remember, you can get a free 2-week trial of Ministry Grid at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Try it out and see how it can help you develop leaders at your church.